Yes, definitely wake up this morning. We've got a great, great show we're going to be talking to you today about. Lots to do. Call somebody and tell them to tune in because we're going to be talking about Head and Neck Cancer Awareness Month. We've got a lot of things to talk about. We want to also get in a bit about we're opening the new farm. You know, every year we've been working with Vernon Park, and now the Health Policy Institute of Chicago is working with Vernon Park Farm, and we're going to start buying the memberships. We're going to memberships this year so you can get your fresh produce that's grown without pesticides or any chemicals whatsoever in a sustainable way. We have the full shares, full memberships that are available at $475 for the entire season, and a half membership at $275. Our 24/7 number you can call. We'll get back to this. We got just a lot to get through on the show, so we've cut a lot of stuff out this morning to get to it. But you can call the number now. We have a 24/7 number that you can call, 708-816-1132. That's 708-816-1132, and I'll get to that more later. We're going to really get right into our show today. We want to thank the University of Illinois Cancer Center for sponsoring this program today. And we want to get into our head and neck cancer. But normally we always hear from Dr. Britt, and we give out a shout to the folks down in Arkansas, Texas, Michigan, and California. But we want to give out shout to the baseball team down in Arkansas that won yesterday. They did a great job. So we want to always let them know that we know that they're doing great things. We want to get right into our show, and we want to welcome our guests. We have a number of people with us today as we talk about head and neck cancer. And we want to, first of all, introduce our head and neck cancer survivor, Mr. Eugene Stroud, and his wife and support, Ms. Esther Stroud. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning. We're great.
Good, good, good. So we want to get to... We want to get into this whole situation around head and neck cancer, and we appreciate you both being with us today and share with the audience about this, because a lot of people don't know much about head and neck cancer. And until it happens, you're like, well, wow, where did this come from? Was that your situation? Did you know? Can you tell us a little bit about that story? How you found out about it, or had you known or been screened? How did it happen?
Well, I noticed my voice was changing. It was kind of getting deeper. And I think this was about, 2018. My voice was getting deeper, and I was telling my wife, and we sat and we talked, and I said, I'm going to the doctor in January sometime. So I ended up going to a wise hospital, seeing the doctor, and that's when they told me the news. And from there.
Actually, you know, we wanted to do the holidays.
Right.
And we made an appointment with our primary doctor at Wise, and she immediately sent us over to the ear, nose, and throat doctor, where he said, I want to send you guys over to U of I because I see something and I want to get their opinion. And they didn't wait a day. They didn't wait a week. No. They sent us the same day.
Right.
And they immediately scoped Eugene. And then they brought us in the room and they said, look, it looks like it's a tumor back there by his voice box.
Yes.
And no warning signs, you know, the deep raspy voice. But they informed us the best way after the biopsy they wanted to do is fight it with chemo and radiation.
So I did 6 weeks of chemo and radiation. and it didn't get rid of it. So I ended up having the operation. And when they told me that about the operation, I came home, me and my wife and family, we sat down and we talked about it.
And it was a big blow to the family because during the chemo and radiation, Eugene has always been 155 forever in life. I've been knowing him since I was 15 years old. And he dropped down to 98 pounds, lost all his facial hair. And they told us that our only option was for him to have a full laryngectomy, removal of the voice box.
Yes.
He said no. He said no. And we came home, we talked, and I'm like, you got to do this. You're getting a second chance at life. You know, I don't know what you're going to face. Yes. We don't know, but until we know, we have to face it head on. I mean, we're a team here.
Yes.
So we called the doctor back, and we stated, let's do it.
Let's do it, yes.
Let's do it. So
now let me ask. Go ahead. No, I was going to ask, did you have any identifiable risk factors that the doctors may have talked to you about? Did you smoke or any of that sort of thing?
Yes. Eugene has been a heavy smoker.
I've been a heavy smoker. I started smoking very young.
Yes. And you say heavy smoker. Tell us what that means, because everybody has their own definition of heavy.
That's true.
Yes, I was I started smoking, I think I was 11 years old when I started smoking cigarettes. And then later on, I became a heavy smoker. I think about a pack a day. Sometimes two packs a day like that. So, and it caught up with me.
Yes. It did.
And when it did, it was a heavy blow. Yes, it was a heavy blow.
And it's horrific because I know Eugene was a heavy smoker.
Yes.
But when I tell you there were no warning signs, and I'm so glad that Dennis is on today, because in 2016, Eugene started to lose, he lost his teeth.
Yeah, my teeth started falling out.
And maybe if they had saw something in, we probably could have fought it, but it was 2018 when everything hit at once.
Well, we have Dr. Jennifer Waller-Smith on the program with us. Dr. Smith, do you want to comment about what you saw and what happened?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I am a general dentist with the University of Illinois Miles Square Health Center. And exactly as Mr. and Mrs. Stroud are saying, when we see patients, especially for their initial comprehensive exams or their checkups twice a year, we do what's called an oral cancer screening. And with that oral cancer screening, we're looking at the tissues in the mouth, not just the teeth, not just the gums, but we're looking at the tongue, the floor of the mouth. We're looking at the throat. We're looking at the size of the cheek. We're looking at the lips. And this is also important, especially for early diagnosis of any oral cancer type lesions. One of the things that we see when we are of concern would be an area like a red or a white spot that doesn't go away. If there was a lump in the mouth that was unexplained, not explained by biting the cheek or the tongue. If there was an area of persistent numbness, and as you mentioned, a change in the voice. These are all identifiable factors that are risk factors and things that we see that would lead us to be able to warrant a further diagnosis and examination of any suspicious lesions in the mouth.
Now, he mentioned that he was losing his teeth. Was this cigarette smoking causing damage to his gums? What was causing his teeth loss? Tooth loss.
Absolutely. So we know tooth loss, if it's not due to decay, it also can be due to gum disease called periodontal disease. We know that smoking is certainly a risk factor for periodontal disease, which will make the teeth become extremely loose, extremely sensitive, and ultimately could lead a patient to needing all of their teeth extracted. And so in this case, it seems as though with Mr. Stroud, he had some predisposing risk factors, particularly with the tobacco smoking and the severe history as he said, the heavy smoking that led to a number of manifestations or issues with his teeth and subsequently with his total oral health.
Well, this is really important because some people are sitting out there right now who probably smoking Absolutely. As they're listening to this show.
Absolutely.
And the thing that we have to do, and if you could speak to both you, Dr. Smith, as well as the patients and his wife, because it doesn't happen tomorrow, doesn't mean it isn't happening.
Absolutely.
And I think what people don't understand is that these things take time, but just because you don't see anything right away doesn't mean something is not happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dr. Mason. And speaking to that, again, we always encourage patients that have a history of smoking to stop smoking. We encourage them to talk to their primary care provider. They can talk to their dentist. Any medical provider can get patients information about stop smoking. We know that over time, with the history of heavy smoking, that can lead to some of these illnesses and issues. And so, again, stop smoking is one of our biggest push in oral health care and general health care.
This is Dr. Brett. Let me ask a question, if I may. You mentioned periodontal disease as a significant risk factor for losing your teeth, et cetera. Can you give maybe two or three key things that the listening audience can do to decrease the likelihood of periodontal disease?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And so with periodontal disease, one of the biggest things we are here to say is come in for your regular checkups, not just when you're having pain or discomfort, to come in twice a year so the dentist can examine your mouth, oral structures, and the health of your gum tissues. We always encourage our patients to brush and floss twice a day, every day. We always want to come in and make an assessment when there's been a change. If you notice that you're having issues, the gums are starting to become more red and inflamed, you have to come in so we can evaluate what's going on. So one of the biggest things is coming in twice a year for the annual checkup, keeping up with daily brushing and flossing. And we always recommend also an oral mouth rinse as well. Critical things to ensure the health of your gum tissues and to prevent the loss of your teeth.
Now, you mentioned smoking as a risk factor. What are the other risk factors for developing this kind of problem?
And so one of the things, particularly with oral cancer, we know smoking being one of the main risk factors, but also tobacco use in any form, smokeless tobacco, snuff, dipping tobacco, any form of tobacco is always going to be a risk factor, as well as alcohol use. We are still on the medical community are still trying to figure out exactly the pinpoint cause of oral cancer. But we know that alcohol and tobacco use are severe risk factors for the disease.
You know, you mentioned using snuff, dipping, what is it, dipping snuff and chewing tobacco, 20, 30 years ago down south, I'm not sure about in Chicago, but that was kind of common, people's dipping snuff and chewing tobacco. I'm just wondering whether or not they've done any updated studies as to how much dipping snuff and tobacco use is, chewing tobacco is in these days and times.
Absolutely. And so with that, there's always ongoing risk factors. You are exactly right. It was something that was a little bit more prevalent years ago, but we still see it as a risk factor because we look at major league sports, particularly Major League Baseball, is still heavily used. And so there are always current studies going on to see what is the use of that, the frequency of that now in today's society. But still, again, just putting the word out there that tobacco in any form is very harmful to your gum health as well as to your overall health. And it's a major risk factor for oral cancer.
And, you know, to go back to Mr. Smith, if you could talk to that gentleman that was smoking with reckless abandon back during those days and feeling that everything was going to be okay, and you could talk to them, what would you say?
You're talking to Mr. Stroud.
No, I'm sorry. I'm Mr. Stroud. Mr. Stroud. I'm thinking Dr. Smith.
You know what? I would just let everybody know this now. Stop if you can. Because I wish I would have listened and put him down, because it was told to me sooner or later they'd catch up. And, you know, I just wasn't listening. They didn't register. But my advice to everyone now, hey, quit it, put them down, seek some type of help. If you don't, the situation would be where I'm at, but I'm still here, though.
So what do you think was the major thing that kept you, Mr. Stroud, from following that advice?
Oh, wow. Just wasn't listening, wasn't taking it serious, you know.
Being
young, a lot of pressure too going on, you know, the pressure to relieve it with a cigarette. And, you know, when you're young, you don't think of them things, you know. And like I say, when I get started getting older, that's when it got heavier because all the peer pressure and everything that was going on.
What cigarettes did you smoke?
Well, when I was little, I think I'm 61 years old. So back then, I think it was Lucky Strikes. You remember them non-filters?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Then came the Cools, then the Newports. And it's always been a Newport. But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but I think back on that, and they don't need me going back there no more. What it is, what it is. My advice, I tell everyone now, when they look at me and want to talk to me, I ask them if you smoke, and if they say yes, yeah, say, look, put them down. You may not think this will happen to you, but it will somewhere down the road. It will affect you. If not, in your throat, some part of your body, this will catch up with you.
Mm-hmm. The reason I asked you about what kind you smoke, because we did a lot of work in public health and found that black people were targeted more for mentholated cigarettes.
Yes, menthol.
And it's something about the menthol that creates a sort of different effect as you smoke it that sort of makes you not think about the damage that you're doing. And the menthol
right.
sort of soothes the throat. So that's why I was asking about that. And that when you said you were smoking one mentholated cigarette, that was that triggered that. Did you find that to be the case when you were smoking the menthol?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Like I said, when my voice started changing, and I remember I went a couple of days, you know, trying to quit without a cigarette. It was much better, but that urge came back. And when I put it back in my mouth, I noticed my voice went back to deep. It got back deep. You know, that's a nasty habit. Mm-hmm. It's a bad and it's a hard habit.
Had you been seeing a dentist before all this happened?
Yes, I have.
Regularly?
Yes, regularly, yes.
And did the dentist ever talk to you about the smoking or some issues with your gums?
No, they didn't, no.
And, you know, Dr. Smith, can you comment on that part in terms of what people should consider a good dental visit and exam? What information should they be getting?
Absolutely. I thought I had a good dentist.
Absolutely. And I'm so sorry for that misinformation for you, Mr. Stroud. In any good dental examination, the dentist should go over your medical history. The dentist is going to look at also your social factors, smoking, smoking use, alcohol use. The dentist is going to diagnose any treatment necessary in terms of decay or cavities, the health of your gum tissue, and your overall health. You should also, if you're not getting that, make sure and ask about your oral cancer screening, which should be done at every checkup visit that you have. The oral cancer screening, and also bring up any habits that you have with the dentist. You're right, Mr. Stroud. Many people don't know to tell their dentist if they don't ask about their tobacco use, their tobacco history. It's really important. And so, again, at the University of Illinois Health, Miles Square, that is part of our screening exam, is that we ask patients about their tobacco history and use, and we always encourage patients to stop smoking.
How much cigarette smoking is okay?
We say zero to none. We never encourage, we never create a barrier. We never give patients an opportunity to say one or two. We understand that patients' response to tobacco is quite different. And so we encourage no tobacco smoking.
And what, Mr. Stroud, when you had a chance to get information, did you avail yourself of the things to help you quit smoking? How did you stop, or do you still smoke?
No, you went cold turkey.
I just went cold turkey after the operation. I just stopped. I started focusing more on life, you know, life changed. When I had this operation, life changed for me. And I just started looking ahead, thinking different. And I knew that I had to give them up.
Well, you know, Mr. Stroud, when you smoke, you also smoke for people around you, whether you realize that or not. They're smoking too.
Yes.
And so, Mr. Stroud, how did you manage that during that time when I'm sure he smoked in the house? So, or he didn't smoke in the house. Did he smoke in the house?
I used to step outside.
But it really didn't matter because, like you said, a habit. I picked up a cigarette.
Yes.
And then I wasn't as heavy as a smoker as Eugene, but I smoked. And when all of this happened, I'm like, oh no. I quit. And I was just amazed that when he came home from the hospital, he never touched another cigarette. No. So being around a person that smokes and we're close, I never smoked at work ever. But when I came home, if he was smoking, I would grab a cigarette.
And so what do you guys have to say to the people maybe like you or maybe not like you who are maybe smoking and saying, oh, it's not that bad. I don't smoke that much or I don't do this or I don't do that or, you know, it's OK. What would you say to them? I mean, if you tell people to stop, we do it all the time, but that doesn't always work. But that doesn't always work.
I tell them this. They said I probably smoke one or two still bad, one or two leads to three or four. It stopped right now, or I let them look at me. I said, look at this. This is what I see kids now when I'm walking my dog down the street. They'll look at me, and I because they say, young man, won't you take that out your mouth? He, why? I said, let me show you something. And he looked his eyes. I said, this is what I got from smoking. And just as I told you, by being young, you know, you don't think of them things. You think you're indestructible. This won't happen. I tell him, I say, look, it'll catch you. I said, it catches as black folks. It's on us harder. Man, please put that down.
And we got to make the tobacco industry part of this, too, because cigarettes are addictive. And they know addictive. And they know that they cause us cancer. And they know that we like menthol more. And they know that we're going to buy it more. And they know that we're going to smoke it more. So, and we're just following right into the plan of these people whose only motivation is profit to sell. I remember working in the grocery store when I was growing up. And I'm going to date myself, but that's okay. When I was working in the grocery store, cigarettes were 27 cents a pack. I know they're a little more than that today. Is that right? They're a lot more than 27 cents a pack today.
Like $16. Yeah.
Because when I started smoking, I think they was like $3 a pack.
I remember when cigarettes went from a quarter to 35 cents, and everybody was talking about how that was going to quit because that was too much to pay. And now people are paying $15 for a pack of cigarettes. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Correct. That's correct.
I add up a pack of cigarettes in a week. That's $207.
Back in the day, it was household money that could have been used for something better.
So now that money I get now for cigarettes, it goes for bills. About to take me and my wife out, you know. Jail out in the house. But as far as that, I just think that I'm still here.
Yeah, well, we're grateful that you're still here, too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm doing a lot better. I'm learning how to use the hands-free device.
Very well.
As you can see. I get a lot of people asking me about it, and I try to explain and talk to them about it.
Well, tell us about it.
Well,
when Eugene had his laryngectomy, he was fortunate enough to get a prosthesis. And this prosthesis could be used with what he has, a hands-free device. And a humorous story, when after he came home and they ordered it and he was going in for fitting, his speech therapist, she connected it because it's held by a patch. And she said, Eugene, say your ABCs. So we saw his mouth moving. And then I saw him get sad. And then she said he was getting depressed. So she said, it takes time. You're not going to get it the first day. Just relax. And the next visit, we're going to work with you. So she walked away and she came back and she said, oh, I didn't turn the wind on. And she turned it. And he said, I knew I was speaking, but y'all just couldn't hear me. And she was like, oh, my goodness. So he spoke.
I know, everybody. I was getting mad because I was speaking. They couldn't hear me. And when she did that, they took off from there. I just started talking as much as I can to try to adjust to my new life.
Yeah, like exercise with the wind from the stomach through
yes.
through therapy is helping him. Because at first it was one or two words, then he had to breathe. Now he can say four sentences. I mean, he can argue.
Yes.
You know.
That was the greatest part. I'm going to be honest. I couldn't wait to argue with my wife. Good. Because when I couldn't say nothing, it was hurting me. I was getting mad at her. But when I did, oh,
when you learn how to pace the breath and through the stomach, the airflow, oh.
So I wake up
in the morning. The sky's the limit now.
I wake up in the morning and I tell her, I want to talk.
Dr. Bick, do you have any questions for any of our guests?
Yeah.
I just want to add, we talked about cigarette smoking, and I think the two major causes of the oropharyngeal cancer is cigarette smoking and alcohol. Alcohol and cigarette smoking gives us a negative synergistic effect for getting the disease. And so the other thing I would just like to add, I know we talk about lung or we talk about cancer of the head and neck, but cigarette smoking is a significant risk factor for lung cancer. Okay, so if you smoke cigarettes, in addition to head and neck cancer, oropharyngeal cancer, you're also at a significant risk factor for getting lung cancer, and you don't want to get either. So I like zero to none. Can you say that one more time? I want to say that again. Dr. Jennifer Walters Smith, we say zero to none.
Zero to none.
Yes, don't smoke. It ain't hip. And you didn't mention it, but when you were 11 years old, my fault is that was kind of hip. I remember when I was in junior high school and I would go into the bathroom before I would come to class and I would smoke a cigarette. I just did a little huff and then I come in and I blow something like I'm cool. And I said, this is not cool. Cigarette smoking is not cool. It's a way of getting to glory early. It's a way of compromising your head and neck and compromising your lungs early. Ain't nothing hip about it. It ain't cool at all. We need to say that over and over again. And I really, really love this zero to none. There's no safe level of cigarette smoking.
No, and I think, Dr. Britt, to your point, this is the other thing that we want to do, too, is there are some resources that people can avail themselves of if they want to choose to quit. The American Lung Association. I mean, there's lots of stuff out here to help you quit if you put it out there. But the American Lung Association has a great program. They provide the gum. They provide a number of tools that can help you. And we still cannot leave the tobacco industry off the hook because they start with this stuff early. Mm-hmm. And I think that I don't know whether or not it's true, but the question is whether or not marijuana is any better. Because it is a product. It's not necessarily tobacco in the same sense, but we have a lot of young people who are doing that, and also pipes, you know, people who smoke pipes. So we'll go back now to our dentist, Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith, you see this. Do you get an opportunity to make referrals to the American Lung Association if you talk to patients? How does that work?
So at our clinic, what we do is when we find patients, we have a tobacco cessation program that's offered through the primary care doctors at Miles Square University of Illinois Health Centers. And so we're able to communicate with their primary care doctors and make that referral so patients can get into the tobacco cessation program. For patients that are not have their medical care at Miles Square, we're able also to give them other referrals to their private primary care doctors to, again, promote tobacco cessation. And so we also provide pamphlets and information from the dental side to encourage to get the information out. I think it's also important that patients know to come in for that checkup twice a year, even if the patients do not have teeth. We have patients with full dentures, and it's still important to come in twice a year so we can look at all of the oral tissue, all the tongue, the floor of the mouth, the throat, the size of the cheek to ensure that everything is healthy. So not having teeth is not an excuse. We still need to see you twice a year, again, to do early screenings, to prevent and to have to inform patients of their risk factors for head and neck cancers.
I was on vacation and met a gentleman who was one of the members of the board of the American Dental Association. And he intimated to me that they wanted to try to do something about periodontal disease. You use that word, and I'll ask you to define it again. But how rampant it is in the Black community. Could you comment on that?
Absolutely. So what periodontal disease is what we call patients. We tell patients it's gum disease. It's caused by bacteria. And what happens is there's a loss of bone, which are the supporting structures for the teeth. When we start to lose the bone around the teeth, the gums can get really red. They can get really infected, really inflamed. And the teeth themselves will start to become loose. Coming in for that checkup twice a year, we can diagnose periodontal disease at its earliest stage and instrument treatment modalities so that we can mitigate the disease from getting any worse. Of course, it's with home health care, oral health care for the patients, but also coming in. Some of the early treatment options we have are just if a patient needs a regular cleaning or if they need a deep cleaning. So we're here to help kind of intervene and try to slow that process of periodontal disease causing patients to lose their teeth.
Well, talk about this cleaning business, because we've been socialized, many of us, many Black folks, and maybe even white people have been socialized only to go to the dentist when you have something hurting, when you got a tooth that's bothering you. But if it doesn't bother you, you don't go to the dentist. So what do you say to that kind of thinking?
You know, and to that, we're here to change that. I tell patients, you may not like the dentist, but at least see me twice a year so you and I can establish a relationship and we can make sure your oral tissues are healthy and your teeth are healthy. We want to change the mindset of coming in only when something hurts, because what we know with head and neck cancers is a patient could have no pain or discomfort whatsoever. And then they come in and now we're trying to treat the disease in its later states. And so even with periodontal disease, for the cleaning, the regular dental cleaning is for patients that do not have a bone loss. When we start to see early signs of bone loss, then we recommend at the very first stage, a deep cleaning known as a scaling and root planing. That is so instrumental and so effective at removing those bacteria, calculus, tartar buildup, and then informing the patient so that they're educated on how they can now change their oral care routine to help maintain their gum health and ultimately their teeth and oral health. And so that's our message here, is that come and see the dentist. We are here. We're here to help you and assist you with your oral health care, which is a critical component to your overall health care.
Does that deep cleaning hurt?
So we tell patients when you come in for treatment, we diagnose what needs to be done. What we do in dentistry is if we need to, we numb the area so that the patients are comfortable during treatment. And so we tell patients, come in. It is worth your time. We're here to make you as comfortable as possible. You don't have to be afraid of the pain and discomfort. We're here to assist you and to help your gums be as healthy as possible and your teeth as healthy as possible.
Now, are there dentists at all the Miles Square health centers?
Yes, so we have Miles Square Health Centers that are located throughout the Chicagoland area as well as Rockford. And so we always encourage patients. We are looking for patients at our practice and accepting patients. But we also encourage patients to, if they have dental insurance, to call their insurance provider, because it's really important that they get the maximum insurance benefit and see a dentist that accepts their insurance. For patients that don't have insurance, at the Miles Square Health Center, we do see those patients and we offer them what's called a sliding fee scale, So we're here to kind of bridge the gaps between some of the issues patients have had with coming in, which have been financial reasons. And so we're here to help that, to get patients in for regular routine care.
You know, go ahead, Thomas, Dr. Yeah, Beck, go right ahead.
And I've heard that dental disease may be an early indicator of disease elsewhere in the body. I've heard that. And I wonder, what are your comments?
Absolutely. So one of the things we know, if for patients with periodontal disease, particularly that gum disease, there's always risk factors for cardiovascular diseases as well. And so, again, letting patients understand that oral health care is a part of your total health care. It's not to be neglected. And that is the necessity to come in for routine checkups and to be evaluated and to make sure all the tissues, not just the teeth and gums, are super healthy.
You know, yesterday I met someone at a baseball game and he had a lot of gold in his mouth. Mm-hmm. And I remember years ago, many years ago, Dr. Smith, many years ago, there were a lot of people with gold in their mouths. Can you comment on that, please?
So one of the things we always want to tell patients is we want optimum, healthy, American Dental Association approved treatment to be done in your mouth. We do not want patients going to local vendors or even a private office, or not a private office, but a residence, to get gold placed in their mouth. Anything that's put in the mouth, of course, if it's not sterile, it could cause a lot of issues. And so, again, we always recommend dental treatment such as crowns, if they're necessary, to be placed by a dentist approved by the American Dental Association. And so with the gold crowns, that was certainly something that we saw as being quite popular in the past. A lot of issues we have is that patients were getting those done perhaps at a mall kiosk, where they were getting impressions done and, you know, getting that plate, if you will, placed in their mouth. The problem with that is it's ill-fitting, it's not approved, and we see a lot of issues with gum disease as well as cavities forming underneath ill-fitting dental crowns. And so we don't recommend that. We recommend you see an American Dental Association dentist and to move forward with care in accordance with that.
You know, Mr. Stroud, the thing that is, I mean, I'm grateful that you have done as well as you've done with the issue. Everyone isn't as fortunate. And I think we should say that everyone is not as fortunate as you.
Yes.
And a number of people don't make it. And a lot of people get to the point where their cancer has progressed to the point that an operation won't fix it for them.
Yes.
And so I'm grateful that you sought out the appropriate help at the appropriate time. But we have to let people, the one thing I wanted to ask you, when these things were going on in your throat, did it hurt? Did you have pain? Did you have anything that bothered you other than maybe, or tell us if you had anything?
Only thing, like I say, it was just a deep change in my voice and a cough. I didn't have no pain and no signs or nothing like that. It was just a change of my voice and the coughing.
Did you cough up any blood or anything like that?
No.
Never had anything like that. And any pain in your throat or in your back of your neck or any in your mouth or anything?
No. I would say this. Later on, I remember jumping up at night. And I couldn't breathe. I used to jump, go to the window for the air. That was later on when it started coming. It happened about three or four times. That's when I talked to my wife. And I said,
I remember that.
I'm going to go to the doctor after the holidays. As far as any pain, blood, none of that. Like I said, it was just my voice changed. The coughing. Then later on came. Well, I couldn't breathe at night. I wake up and jump up, and I run to the window for some air.
I didn't see any drastic warnings. You know,
nothing.
No pain. I'm talking going to work every single day. Some years never even took a vacation.
I was going straight to work like this. It didn't bother me.
Going on vacations, going on trips. No warning signs, nothing, until 2018. And I did notice a couple of times he would jump up. He said, I'm having a hard time breathing. But, you know, I probably thought out maybe you're catching a cold, you know, something like that. But right. It would be a lie to say, oh, he woke up, he was coughing up blood. No pain. No pain, no pain pills, no nothing.
No sire, no bad symptoms, no worse symptoms than, like I say, the 3 or 4 times I wake up for some air. That was it.
Wish we would have probably had more warning signs.
Every morning I was getting up at 4 o'clock, going to work.
And so what did you think about this change in your voice? You didn't make anything of it at all?
No, I didn't. No.
I did.
My wife did.
I did.
Because what were you thinking, wife? What were you thinking, Mrs. Stroud?
I immediately was thinking it was the cigarettes. I was like, you know, the voice that went. He's always had like a soft-spoken voice, always.
But like I said, I had quit for a while, and I noticed my voice changed.
Yeah.
But when I started back smoking, back to the same predicament. The same problem.
Right, so that's when we decided, because when it got really bad, it was actually a couple of weeks before Christmas. And I said, well, you know, just go to your doctor. Let's make an appointment and just do a whole checkup. And that's what we did. We contacted our primary physician of 24 years plus.
Yes.
Yeah. 24 years plus, and immediately she looked, and she sent us right across the hall to the ear, nose, and throat doctor, and I'm not saying it went downhill from there, but a lot of information in that one day.
Well, I want to take this opportunity to let people know that we unfortunately have been given this idea of symptoms, and symptoms are the absolute wrong way to think about disease. You don't wait till your car starts making noises and smoke comes out the tailpipe before you take it to the doc, to the mechanic. Nor should you wait till your voice changes, or should you wait till you have pain or bleeding or anything like that. You take your car has a manufacturer manual, and it says how many miles you taking. It don't say if it's making noise or if it's blue smoke coming out the tailpipe. Mm-hmm. You come in at certain intervals to get that taken care of. And I found that men take better care of their cars than they do their bodies many times. So you know all the intervals to take the air, to take the car and to get the oil change. You know all the times you get the tire pressure check. You know all the right kind of gas to put in the car. You know all of that. But you don't take care of the most important and the most precious thing we haven't. We got on this manual for how to take care of that, but we don't even read it. Yep. We don't pay any attention to it. We let the tobacco industry and the fast food industries and all these other things dictate to us what we ought to do, because it doesn't help you. It helps them.
It helps
them. Right.
It helps them. And so what we need to do, and that's why I want to take, I know we're running out of time, but I do want to take this last few minutes of this show, because what Dr. Britt and I and the Health Policy Institute of Chicago is trying to do is put something out there for people to be able to get. And these are vegetables that are grown there's a farm, Mother Carr's Farm out in Linwood, and out there for over 10 years. We did it last year too. We grew food out there in a sustainable way, no pesticides, none of that. And we don't, and we use our own bees. We generate our own, we have a way to pollinate all our own plants. And what we do is we allow people to participate by buying what we call a membership. And that membership gets you about 20 at the full membership, around 15 to 20 pounds of food every other week. And a half share, about less than half of that. And if you're interested, please call this number, 708. I want that, write it down now. 708. I want that, make sure you got that down. 816 3732. And you can call that number 24/7. And we'll take your information down. We'll send you information as to how you send you a form so you can participate. And this is among the best. This food is not shipped in from no trucks. And the food that we grow, the food that you get, the collard greens, the kale, the squash, the tomatoes, all the things that come out of that. It's just like when you was down in Mississippi. You get that. We get that stuff. You get, we pick it. It says picked on Friday. You pick it up on Saturday if you want to come down to the church to pick it up. It doesn't get any better than this. And if we want to do something to help improve our life, if you want to put, just like you put high test, as Dr. Britt would say, or that good gas in your car to make it run better, you need to put good food in your body in order for it to run better and protect you, yes, even from the things that you do to yourself.
That's right.
Okay, so okay, we want you to call the number so you can, we can help you help yourself. That's 708. I want to make sure you call it because it's important. 816-1132. And call the number. You can call anytime, day or night. But this is the one thing you can do to help yourself. And when you go to the dentist, you know, I've been going to the dentist every 6 months, doctor. I go to the dentist every 6 months. I see the Alcantara brother, those brothers over there at the dental, over on 60, right off 63rd. And because these are good young brothers that are doing a great job. And a lot of great dentists and oral surgeons out there. We need to go and see them. You do not. I know we've been socialized. Only go to the dentist when something is hurting. That is the absolute wrong thing to do. Dr. You want to go when nothing's hurt. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Dr. Britt.
Do I have a time to ask Dr. Smith one last question?
Go right ahead. Do it. Ask it right now.
Okay. So the question I want to raise is, we know about smoking cigarettes and tobacco and the synergistic effect and all that. What about a viral cause for oropharyngeal cancer?
Certainly. So one of the viruses we know that's instrumental in causing oral cancer would be the human papillomavirus, known as HPV. And so one, that's one of also, it's a virus that we know that has been shown to cause a lot of the oropharyngeal cancers. And so that's certainly information we want to put out there. Again, coming in and getting your oral cancer screenings. And to Mr. Stroud, certainly one of the things we can also do during the oral cancer screening is to check the throat area for any lumps or palpations, enlargements, and that's not seen in every patient, not in every case, but certainly the oral cancer screening goes beyond just the oral cavity, but also looking for any type of growths or enlargements in the neck region. And also, Dr. Britt, of course, we know that the HPV virus is certainly a virus that's instrumental in causing oral pharyngeal cancers.
And also, we need to remember that it can be sexually transmitted.
Absolutely.
So, you know, oral sex to different parts of the organs that we have sex with can also help spread the HPV virus. And we'll talk more about that next week because we all out of time for this week. Dr. Britt, do you have anything you want to say in the last, for 10 seconds or so?
No. Well, make the phone call so you can get healthy food at a reasonable price throughout the harvest season. And harvest seasons start somewhere around June, July, all the way through November. Call that number.
Thank you so much, Mr. and Mrs. Stroud. Thank you so much. And thank you, our wonderful dentist, Dr. Smith. Thank you all. Thank all the listeners for listening. And thank our engineer.
Thank you.
We appreciate you coming and sharing this story. It's very, very important. And until next week at the same time and station, may God continue to bless each and every one of you with continued health and strength as we leave you now in peace.
Amen.
Existence, what's my purpose for residing with this mind? Fate would have me to go under, but there's a reason for my being.